Hello, my name is Chris Snipes, and you are listening to The Melt.
After waiting for 2 hours and now getting 2 minutes, I'll get right to the point. This board is pretending that for the last 3 months, your emperor, Dr. Levin, has not been against a mask declaration. Now all of a sudden we're pretending that masks are everything, even forcing speakers to use masks. I would like the board to take a position. Was Dr. Levin wrong for those 3 months? And if he was this wrong, why has he not been removed? Why has he not been fired for being so catastrophically wrong? Or do you not really believe he was wrong? You're just wearing these masks because it is a signal of your great virtue. Because for the last 3 months, we have not worn them. And Ventura County has done outstandingly well and continues to do outstandingly well because we are not Los Angeles. We are not New York City. We never were going to be any of those things. Ironically, this is one of the few things Dr. Levin was actually right about. He is the one who told us we would have 400 to 600 hospitalizations a day. He revised that to 200 to 400 a day. We still haven't reached that in one day. We're barely over 200 for the entire ordeal that you guys have put us through. We now have panicked over 51 total hospitalizations in a county with 8 hospitals. Can you people do math? Can you please do basic math and understand where we are on this? This is not a crisis. You, however, have created one. You, in an effort to try to prevent all death, when we've had 43 deaths, have now ended all relevant life.
In case you guys didn't hear, Governor Inslee, in his infinite wisdom, has decided after over 100 some odd days that we should all wear face masks inside and out. Here's what I say. Don't be a sheep.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
As we seem to be entering the civil war over masks, it becomes increasingly more and more important to question everything, including the information that you're about ready to hear. We have to be willing to hear other sides and take everything into account, including the faction that claim that this whole COVID situation is a psyop that is trying to steer us towards a technocratic dystopia all sponsored by Bill Gates and, by association, Jeffrey Epstein. Yes, I said it. We've got to be able to at least take it all into account so that we can say that we put all the cards on the table and have given it all a fair shake. Of course, that's the exact same way that I feel about all of life and the many ways of looking at it. Just because I entertain ideas and give them the time of day doesn't mean that I have to fully invest in them on all fronts to then turn around and proselytize about them and try to get any of you to think or feel the same way. There's too much nuance to take into account. I'm not a one or the other kind of person, but more of an all of the above kind of person. I just feel like it's more realistic, and it gives more room for different possibilities, and also takes into account that it's very possible that I have less a grasp on reality than I'd previously thought. Well, today's guest, none other than Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, has her own views about the COVID situation, which bridge two previously opposing camps, the medical world and the world of what some might call conspiracy. She was kind enough, even though I was her 5th interview of the day, to sit down and talk with me about it. I begin the conversation by asking her what initially brought her to the question of vaccines and their safety.
It was a serendipitous sort of thing that happened. I had a flyer that came in the mail in September to attend the National Vaccine Information Center meeting in Washington, D.C. in September of 2000. And I was a very inconvenient time to go. In fact, I called them twice to ask them when their next meeting was because I didn't think that I could get down there. And every time I went to throw that brochure away off of my kitchen counter, it seemed to end up back on the counter. So I said, well, there must be something, there must be somebody, not something, there must be somebody there that I'm supposed to meet. So maybe I'll just go ahead and go to that meeting and find out what's going to happen down there. Little did I know it was going to become a life-changing event. And after 4 days of listening to scientists and researchers and doctors and attorneys and parents of vaccine-injured children, I came home and said, how did I miss this? You know, I was a board-certified ER doc. I was the director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years. I had had my own clinic at that point in time by 4 years doing integrative medicine. And I grew up in a chiropractic family where I wasn't vaccinated at all. And I don't think any of my cousins were either. And so vaccines were just not anything really on my radar screen. So I came home and I started reading the CDC papers and then some of the peer-reviewed journals. And it just became a bit of an obsession. Well, that's an understatement. It became a complete obsession. And I just kept reading because I kept thinking that sooner or later, I would find something that made sense, that justified injecting all of this foreign matter into little babies somehow was good for them and was necessary and could find some reason for why we were doing this. And all of these years later, you know, 20 years later and almost in over 40,000 hours worth of time, 40,000 hours worth of time, you know, I can say really strongly that vaccines are not safe. They've never been proven to be safe. They don't keep you from getting sick. Effective is not a synonym for protection, and they definitely do cause harm. And I've never wavered from that message in 20 years. I was never like the I'm not anti-vaccine, but or just make them safer. Show me the science. Green our vaccines. I never did any of that.
Sure.
I was always that this is a mistake. It's a 200-year multi-generational indoctrination on bad information and horrific science that really has no places on the planet. But now we've got so much money, power, egos, personalities all invested in this. To bring it down is going to have to be done on a spiritual level. And I really believe that we are fighting powers and principalities of the massive pharmakia on this planet. And the pharmakia is the Greek word for pharmacy, for sorcerers and witchcraft. And there's a belief system in vaccines that is really difficult for people to get their head around in this cognitive dissonance that it causes it. But it's something that really needs to go away. I mean, think about any other technology, any other medicine, any other things in the planet that have progressed over the last 100 years. Not so with vaccines. We're still using the same recipes that we used in the 1920s for the DPT vaccine and the 1960s for the MMR vaccine. Nothing has changed. And because they have complete liability protection for their faulty products, there's no incentive to change.
Sure. How did we get to this point where we so unquestioningly rely upon these vaccines with little to no testing? How did that ever happen?
I think that it's a problem. It might be a global problem, but I can say for sure in the United States, it's a problem that we have abdicated our authority to perceived authority figures. So instead of doing our own research and questioning everything, you know, like in the 60s, it was like to question authority, question everything.
Exactly.
Now we've just acquiesced and we've just rolled over and accept what they say in them. And think that they're going to take care of us. And they've done all the research for us. And all we have to do is just sit back and continue to play with our phones.
So you think that there's definitely some conscious agenda behind all of this vaccine?
Oh, absolutely. And for anyone who actually spends any time in this sector and end up in researching it, to not come to that conclusion, you've missed a big swash of information.
To what end do you think that's, I mean, what is the why? Why are they pushing this so hard?
Well, you know, those of us that have been in the vaccine truth movement or the vaccine exposure movement, whatever you want to call it, for a long time, you know, we have science on our side in terms of, you know, my husband, God rest his soul, was a pilot in the Navy. And he said that there was an expression when they did the final walk arounds before they took off to fly, that there was an expression in the Navy that was that they said, if there's any doubt, there's no doubt. which meant if there's any doubt that it was safe to fly, there was no doubt the plane was grounded. And so we should be using that same sort of thing in the vaccine industry. And so for the longest time, so we've got science on our side, because if there's any doubt that these vaccines are causing problems, and there's a plethora of information that shows what's happening, then there's no doubt that we should have a complete moratorium on this entire program until we figure it out. And so because of that, I really feel like the science is on our side. We win, because we're doing this for the betterment of humanity and the preservation of human DNA. But and the only thing that they have on their side is character assassination and mudslinging and name calling. And they call us this tinfoil hat, anti-science, conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. And so we've been used to kind of having that sort of stuff slung at us for a lot of time. And because of that, we've never really ventured into, at least I should speak for myself, at least I've never really ventured into the real issue, which is depopulation and Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 and the 17 UN sustainability goals are alive and well on this planet. You know, the eugenics movement started with, you know, Bill Gates's father was one of the original founders of that and did a lot of stuff with the international bankers. So we've kind of stayed away from that whole concept of eugenics. And it's because, you know, it's a big leap because of the multi-generational indoctrination and the belief, the faith, the religion around vaccination. That's a really big leap to get people to just go from, I believe in vaccines, to maybe I should question vaccines. It's a bigger leap to get people to go from, maybe I believe in vaccines, to vaccines are, you know, they've designed these to kill us. So it's a big leap. But it's a trajectory that time is short here on the planet. Time is short. And we need to like really be full bore ahead, kind of saying, calling it a spade and moving forward with what they're planning to do with this COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, we hear a lot of talk about the PrEP Act, but hardly does anybody ever go into detail about it. What's the deal with the PrEP Act?
Well, the PrEP Act was a piece of legislation that was actually passed in 2005. And you actually have to back up a couple of steps to understand how the PrEP Act came into being. It was after 9/11. After 9/11, they, everybody was all in terror, and some people still are over the truth about 9/11. And so there was a lot of legislation and things that were happening. So in 2003, you know, so it was September 11th, 2001 was the tower event. And then it was in 2003 when they passed a piece of legislation called Project BioShield. And Project BioShield became a permanent, indefinite funding for the pharmaceutical industry whenever there was a perceived threat, either a terrorism threat, or like some sort of a bioterrorism or pandemic threat. And it was funded with $5.6 billion in perpetuity for 10 years. And whenever that money was needed, it was readily available because it continued to be funded. Out of that, they also wrote into that law something called the EUA, which is the Emergency Utilization Authority, which means that if they developed a product for bioterrorism or for pandemic or for some other form of terrorism, a biomedical attack, that the product could bypass animal testing, could bypass it could bypass animal testing and could be fast tracked to human testing. And the UEA or the EUA, the Emergency Utilization Authority, actually says that when you get a product to market and it's safe enough, like who defines that?
Yeah.
You know, is it like it only kills 50%, 49% of the people? I mean,
exactly.
Is that safe enough? Mm-hmm. You know, who defines that? Then they could release it under this authority and move it forward. Well, the drug companies weren't just happy with that. They weren't happy enough with the fact that they had unlimited funding. They didn't have to prove that their products were safe. They could get them to be safe enough and that they could fast track them and get them to market faster. That wasn't good enough for them. What they wanted was complete liability protection for these fast-tracked, safe enough products so that they could never be sued over that. And they knew that they pulled off a mini coup in 1986 when they passed the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act for childhood vaccines, that they had liability protection for children. Well, they wanted that to be extended to bioterrorism products and also to adults. So between 2003 and 2005, there were about 13 pieces of legislation that they tried to float up through Congress that really didn't get much traction. And this, and a final piece of legislation that looked like it was going somewhere, you know, activists and citizen reporters got hold of that piece of legislation and said, whoa, 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 wait, this means that they have all liability protection for everything that's defined to be under the PREP Act. But the PREP Act stands for, you know, Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act is what that is. And so they weren't getting anywhere. They weren't getting any traction. So finally, Bill Frist, who was the head of the Senate at the time, and Dennis Hassert, on a Saturday night at 11:30 at night, they left the Senate, they went to the House, and they insisted that this piece, this 43-page piece of legislation that was originally called Division E, got tacked on the back end of a $430 million defense appropriation bill. It just got tacked onto the back because most of the people in that defense appropriation committee had already signed off on the law and had gone home for the Christmas holidays. This was December 17th, Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. So nobody read the legislation. Nobody knew what it said. Nobody knew what they had just handed the drug companies on a plate. Was not only did they have complete liability protection, 100% complete liability protection, not only for any drug or vaccine that they make, but also any biologic, any technology, any piece of software, anything that comes under the umbrella that they are creating it for that particular event that is signed into and activated and signed by the Secretary of HHS or the Assistant Secretary of HHS. And after that bill got passed, there was a Representative Obey from Wisconsin went onto the floor the next day and was livid because that was his committee. And he was livid that they could have gotten this passed through. And as soon as we reconvene after Christmas, we are going to have to pull this apart and show it again and show what they actually did. Well, it never got mentioned ever again. And the reason that I know about it in the detail that I do is because during that period of time of 2005, that was when bird flu was going on. And I was actually in the process of writing my book called Foul, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think, in real time while all this was going on. So I saw the legislation coming through, and I've got copies of that legislation that's been scrubbed off the internet. You can't find it anywhere.
Wow.
And so this whole, so what the upshot of that is, not only do they have complete liability protection, that if a bunch of people are either harmed or killed by this vaccine or permanently disabled, they have to collectively get together and prove to the U.S. Attorney General that that product was made under an act of willful misconduct, that they intentionally created it to hurt you.
What?
Which is never, ever going to happen. I've talked to lawyers, and I know that the willful misconduct is one of the most difficult elements of law to ever try to prove. And not only do they have to prove that, there's no funding. They say that if someone is injured, they can file for compensation, like with the 1996 Act, except there's no funding. Congress would have to reconvene and agree together to fund it. And they would have to agree together on the list of injuries that they would consider to be to get compensation through this funding. So there's no funding. There's no mechanism for injury. They would have to prove willful misconduct on the part of the manufacturers to have any compensation for anything that this fast-tracked, bypassed animal testing, get it to market in less than a year when a vaccine usually takes a minimum of 5 years to get to market. And under the EUA, if it's good enough, they get to release it on the entire planet.
That's insane.
So it is the worst piece of legislation in terms of what's happening right now. And Alex Azar, our illustrious Health and Human Services director, actually activated the PREP Act on February the 4th, 2020. He said, now everything that's being developed is under the PREP Act. And he's actually logged it into the Federal Register on March the 17th. Which means that that act remains activated and in force and in place until which time in the future the current or future HHS director or assistant HHS director goes into the Federal Register and says, this act is no longer necessary. We are no longer under a pandemic emergency. We are sundowning this piece of legislation for this event. Not sundowning it forever, sundowning it for this event. And the way that they've got this set up now, and it's like it's the second wave, the third wave, this is coming, that is coming,
yes.
Masks and social distancing and all these vaccinations and vaccines in order to get your driver's license and have a job and go out in public and blah, blah, blah. We're going to have this for a really long time. And it's a very, very nefarious act. I actually often wonder, Chris, how many people in Congress even know about this? Because that's a 15-year-old piece of legislation. There are very few people in Congress or in the Senate that have that kind of longevity. And there's been a lot of water under the bridge, hundreds of legislative pieces that have gone by. It really frightens me to think that they don't know it. I was listening to Hugh Hewitt in the morning, this was probably 6 weeks ago now. And he always interviews a lot of senators and congresspeople. And there was one person on there who said, yeah, they're talking about getting complete liability protection for this vaccine. And Hugh was going, well, wait a minute, they can't do that. I mean, there's got to have some level of liability. And they're like, well, I don't know. That's what they're sort of talking about. So the two people, one is in Congress and one is, got big reputation in the law in Washington, D.C., both talking about, neither one of them knew about the PrEP Act. And I could find no possible way to get hold of Hugh Hewitt to say, here, read this. This is already in place. And he's a big proponent of all getting the vaccine and moving forward. I've always loved Hugh. I've listened to his show for years. I can barely stand to listen to him anymore. He's become the next loud mouthpiece of the mainstream propaganda. It makes me very sad.
Yeah, that's insane. The liability protection. I mean, even a manufacturer of jet skis, like if they put that on their list of things, the caveats, that would be insane. But this is something that is going inside of people's veins. And in certain situations...
No, don't say that. That's not correct. It's not going in their veins. Okay. So, nowadays we have to be very careful of our language because we're really, 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 really under scrutiny. But I will say that vaccines are being injected into the muscle in adults, and now they're talking about adding children to the experimental thing so that we can vaccinate children to protect grandma. Go figure. But this is something that once you vaccinate, you can't unvaccinate. This particular type of vaccine has never been able to be manufactured for humans before, ever, and it's going to cause great harm to humanity.
And they're fast-tracking this, too. They want to go straight to human testing, right?
They already are. They already are. They're going straight to human testing. And here's the thing is that, and they know that these animal studies have been done for the last 20 years because coronaviruses have been around for 60 years. We had the SARS outbreak in 2002, and we have a large burden of illness, meaning that a large number of people every year become ill with influenza-like illness caused by coronaviruses. So, from a manufacturer's perspective, it would be a good deal to get a coronavirus vaccine because a lot of people get sick every single year from coronavirus illness. So they've been trying this for a long time. They can never move it forward with the FDA because of the serious outcomes. The animals either died or got seriously sick during the process. And what happens is they inject the coronavirus the first time. The second time is to sensitize them. The second time is to create what they call a robust antibody response. So as that goes in the first time, the second time you get this really high antibody response. And the researchers go, yay, that's exactly what we're looking for. Now let's see if we expose those animals, re-expose them to coronavirus. Let's see if that high antibody level keeps them from getting sick. And what actually happens is that there's an accelerated autoimmune disease that happens that causes huge breakdown in their lungs, primarily, secondarily in their liver and kidneys after they've been re-exposed to the virus. And almost all of those studies that I've read, and I've read probably a dozen or so, they all conclude by saying, we must be very careful in the development of coronavirus vaccines in humans because of this accelerated autoimmune response.
That's nothing short of insanity. Do you think that big pharma money is behind all the fear mongering in the mainstream media?
Oh, of course. We're talking about a multi-trillion dollar deal here. Not only because of the vaccines if Bill Gates want every human on the planet to have at least two of those shots, right? The first one and then the second one. So that's 15 billion doses of vaccines. And then when people get chronically sick and chronically ill, we've got a couple trillion dollar book of business back there to treat your symptoms with our drugs.
And then they want to mandate it. So a way to ensure that everybody is going to take your product,
I have a really good friend who's retired now, but he was a he was the CEO and president of a Fortune 200 company. And we've been friends for a long time. And you know, he's very much into our sector. He's on in our page on this. And I can't tell you how many times we've talked about it. And he said, you know, Sherry, it would have been just incredible to me. You know, they had 7 divisions inside of their company. He said, if I had government mandated liability protection for every single product that I put out through my company, think of how much money that would save me in insurance and R&D insurance and all this other stuff. He said, but they've got complete liability protection of a product that the U.S. Supreme Court says is unavoidably unsafe, and that can, and once you inject it into the body, you can't uninject it. It's there forever. And once you cause chronic illness, you're kind of stuck with it.
Yeah. I mean, how realistic is the possibility for a vaccine anyway? Because there's so many mutations. It's changing all the time, right?
Exactly. And particularly RNA viruses do that really fast. They change really quite quickly. You know, the thing is that this particular virus, because it's an RNA virus, doesn't even create a very robust antibody response. So they know that people that have actually been had documented illness with SARS-CoV-2, which is the name of the virus that causes the condition called COVID-19, they've actually been diagnosed acutely with that virus infection. And that they know that very quickly, within a matter of weeks to months, whatever antibody response that was there to clean that virus out of that system doesn't stay very long. The RNA viruses, or this particular RNA virus, doesn't seem to create a very robust long-term immune response. So the powers that be are kind of sitting back, kind of scratching their head. They're saying, well, let me see. Real infection doesn't create immunity. Real infection doesn't create antibodies that are long lasting, but we know our vaccine is going to do that. Our vaccine is going to be long lasting and is going to create, you know, an immunity that's going to keep people from getting sick. Really? You're going to bypass animal studies. You're going to fast track it to human studies. You're going to have no liability for what your dirty, filthy product is. You can put nanotechnology. You can put anything that you want in that vaccine because you have complete liability protection for what you are putting into that shot. And so it's the biggest crapshoot ever, Chris. It's the biggest crapshoot on the planet ever. And we've got all of these people that have been so terrified by this infection, because humans learn by visual response. And so all of those hazmat suits and everybody talking about ventilators, 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 and all of these things that were happening inside of the hospital systems, the people that, I don't know, they've lost their ability to have critical thinking. Yeah. They just can't do it anymore for whatever reason, are so terrified. They can't wait until this vaccine is ready to run to the head of the line. And I'm telling you, if they've had a flu shot before they've gotten their COVID-19 vaccine, the chances of them having an adverse outcome are exponentially higher.
Yeah, I mean, when did we start trusting billionaires and huge for-profit corporations with our collective well-being? That makes no sense whatsoever. We wouldn't do that in any other area.
No, and neither should we in this area either. I mean, yeah. When you start, people that are kind of, you know, have dug down through a lot of the stuff, the history of Bill Gates and the various areas of like, that, of things that they're invested in. I mean, fake food, like not real beef. And now they're talking about artificial breast milk he was responsible when they released those mosquitoes down in Brazil that killed birds and killed like the reptiles because they couldn't eat the mosquitoes, and you know, they disrupted the entire ecosystem. And then we've got Gavi, which is one of the more nefarious art organizations on the entire planet, with all the things that Gavi's involved in. And Gavi is the Global Alliance for Vaccination and Immunization, which was Bill Gates's brainchild. It's the intermediary between the profits and the non-profits. They run their money through Gavi in order to get vaccines out into the world. I mean, this is a really, really not good human being. Really not good human being. And it's amazing to me how many people think that he's just, oh, he's a billionaire and look at all the good things he's doing to try to help us. Really? How far did you go down that rabbit hole? Like maybe the first lid? Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You'd peep in over the edge, maybe?
Exactly.
So what are your top concerns should this vaccination go mandatory? And do you think that it will?
I don't think that they can make it mandatory. I think it will be well, let me rephrase that. They can do about anything they want because they control everything. But I think it would be quite difficult for them to mandate it, because in the U.S., vaccines, vaccinations and laws are states' rights issue. They're not at a federal level. They'd have to do some pretty much dance in the jig to get that up to the federal level and get it passed and grab all that money out of the hands of the states. It would be difficult to make it be mandatory. However, they could remove so many of your social things that you're used to having, mm-hmm. that, yes, thank you, social mm-hmm. privileges, that it would make it almost impossible to give it up. They could, you know, you cannot renew your driver's license. I've been saying that for years. They've done this. They've got precedents for that. They did it in Argentina a few years ago. They can make it so you cannot get on an airplane, so you can't get on public transportation. You can't go to like a baseball game, a basketball game. You can't go into your kids' schools. You can't use your doctor, your health insurance. You know, and they've already started doing that to a certain degree with flu shots. You know, they've been kicking kids out of pediatric practices forever. And I've heard a few people tell me that their doctors have told them that if they don't get a flu shot, that they would need to go find another doctor. And most of these people are elderly people that have comorbidities. They have hypertension and diabetes and obesity and maybe lung conditions, lung orders. They may even have cancer. Now, suddenly you can't access your health insurance or see your doctor without being injected with a solution that could permanently disable you or kill you. I mean, it's such a violation of the Nuremberg codes, violation of the declarations of Helsinki, the violations of the International Medical Association, violation of the UN, of the Geneva Conventions. You know, you can't do human experimentation. The whole idea of informed consent is on its head. There's no such thing anymore, because you can be as informed as I am, but if you're forced to consent, then you don't have informed consent, because informed consent implies you have the right to refuse. If you have no right to refuse, that is complete violation of many, many international treaties and tenets on human experimentation.
Well, if they do include nanoparticles or RFID tags in the vaccine, are they even required to tell us?
No.
Yeah. I mean, even though, sadly enough, if they did, many people would probably just blindly go along with it.
Well, I believe, you know, I'm a really strong Christian, and I really believe that, you know, that there, we've talked about, you know, it's been predicted for over 2,000 years, you know, we would come to this place where you would get the mark of the beast.
Yes.
That you would not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And so what if you've got this vaccine that has nanoparticles in it that activate the smart dust that we've been sprayed with for years, that hook us up to the Google, you know, implemented grid, you know, and we have to behave by like Chinese social credits to kind of keep us all behaved now, because if we go to the store or we go everywhere else like that, they can just take a little app on your phone and just scan it. And that's, I mean, I've been told, and I'm aware of 19 different chipping technologies that are on the market that are patents for them. And there's probably a whole lot more than that. Those are just the ones I happen to be aware of. And so, you know, if you just misbehave and you don't, you know, move forward with your social credit score being appropriate, like you wear a mask because I have to protect you because that's what I do because I'm a good girl. You know, it's like, no, my mask doesn't do anything to protect you. Well, then you get dinged a couple of points on your social credit score. And if you do that down low enough, then they just turn off your chip. And so this sounds so much like science fiction. It sounds like, how could this be happening in America? How could this be happening in the world? They've been planning this for 50 years, 50 years. And somebody asked me the other day, why do you think they did it right now? I said, I think they were pretty much ready. They had everything kind of ready to go. And they were waiting for a villain. And the villain is President Trump. And the villain is our U.S. elections that are coming up. And so now they could direct all of that vehemence towards a villain. And the next layer out of villain is, I believe that they have come after the supporters of Trump and conservatives and Christians and the people. They hate us. They may have like a hate for him that is beyond satanic, but they hate the people that support this country, support our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our churches, our right to congregate, our right to free speech, our right to worship in the manner in which we choose. They want to take every single one of those social norms and destroy it. That's where we're at.
And this is such a divisive issue too. It's so charged. It's very partisan too. There's a, you know, this is designed for left outrage in a sense, you know, like Trump is such an easy scapegoat for people to complain about already. And then this comes along and, you know, he just becomes that much more of a scapegoat. So, you know, then this encourages snitching and encourages people pointing fingers and shaming others who aren't wearing masks or who aren't jumping through the hoops that they're asked to jump through. It's like divide and conquer, like 101.
And destroy humanity as we know it.
Yeah.
It's almost as though the powers that be had sat down and they made a long list of all the things that, you know, normal civil society holds dear. Like all the things that I just mentioned, right? Freedom of speech, right to congregate, freedom to worship, being able to hug and kiss and touch and high five and share together. I mean, what are we hiding behind? What are we stopping? And what are we looking around at each other now with the social distancing, with everybody suspicious of each other? They go in the grocery store and they don't even look at each other anymore. You know, and we are now wanting to separate humans so that they no longer look at fellow humans like humans. They're just sort of a thing that's over there that might be dirty and might have a virus that might jump out and make me sick and kill me because I got to wear a mask and I got to stay away from you. I mean, it's a psyop. It's a complete psyop of what's happening here. And I said this from the very beginning. I've been saying this since the 1st of March, and I'm going to keep saying it. And I don't know.
For as the long record, as you need to.
For the record, I'm not suicidal, okay? For the record, I'm not suicidal.
That's good to know.
Okay? If anything happens, for the record, I'm a Christian, and I am not suicidal. But from the 1st of March, I said, you know, I looked at what they were doing, and I looked at this coronavirus, and I heard the social distancing, and I started saying very loudly, and I took a lot of heat for it. I said, we're going to find out at the end of this day, when they go back and crunch all these numbers, this is going to be a big fat nothing burger virus.
Yes.
And nothing's going to happen from this. We're going to find out that we have destroyed the world,
yeah,
world economy, all those jobs, all those families, all those supply chain things in every industry that you can think of. We've destroyed it all for the fascists who are here to absolutely microchip us and track us for the rest of our lives. I mean, a lot of people were like really upset with me when I said that, but as it turns out, it's turned out sadly to be true. I would have loved to have been wrong. And they're like, well, what about all those people that died? All what people that died? 250,000, 300,000 people worldwide out of a population of 7.7 billion people.
Yeah, exactly.
Three times more than that die every year of tuberculosis. Almost double that die every year of garden variety influenza. How many people die of heart attacks and strokes? And car accidents. You know, we don't shut down the whole freaking world because there's a bunch of car accidents that kill people. So we're at this place where we are really, 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 and we've got to stand up. Somebody asked me on an interview yesterday, which was one of the more profound questions I've been asked in this 120 some interviews I've done in the last 60 days, is that they asked me what I thought was the biggest problem right now in the entire world. And I sat there for a second and I said, the lack of courage. The lack of courage. We get the government we deserve. We've allowed these thugs to roam our streets. We've allowed Bill Gates and Tony Fauci and all of those people to co-opt our lives and destroy humanness as we know it. The lack of courage, because everybody's afraid they're going to get sick. They're so fearful. And it's I can't even connect to it, Chris. I can't, there's no level of anywhere in me that I can connect with that at all. I just can't.
And it's such a weak trade-off too. If there were millions of people dying, then okay, I could see people getting freaked out. I could see the concern. I could see, you know, some of these measures being enacted, but it's so, I mean, as you said, the numbers, perspective is so important. You know, this is just barely a bad flu season.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Exactly. And people are more than willing just to jump through any hoop that they're, you know, because they're ashamed. They don't want to be called out. We're in kind of call out culture, and nobody wants to have their fingers pointed out. Fingers pointed at them, saying that they're selfish because they're not wearing a mask, or they're a conspiracy theorist because they're questioning the narrative that's going on. It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that whole selfish thing, several different times I've walked, you know, people have kind of given me the look, and I said, oh, so you're concerned that I'm not wearing a mask. Well, if you think your mask is protecting you, why are you concerned about me?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's sort of like the whole thing about, you know, vaccinated versus unvaccinated kids, right? If you think your vaccines work and protect your kids, then why are you concerned about being around anybody else?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, with this mask thing, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's selfish and you should be trying to protect others. Well, you got on a mask. Aren't you protected? I mean, isn't that what the whole point of the mask is like that? So I'm really, and then I'll say, I'm really, really sorry that you've been deceived. You know, God bless you. Have a nice day. And to walk away, you know?
So did people have actually confronted you?
Oh, yeah. Or, kind of doing this sort of thing to me. I go, excuse me, you have on a mask? I'm glad you're protecting yourself. That's good. I'm not sick. So you don't have to worry about protecting me. I'm not sick. And just go on about my day. And thank you very much. You've been deceived. I'm really sorry that you've bought the Kool-Aid. Go on about my business, you know? But I think that dropping those little seeds are important.
For sure. Absolutely. So, okay. What can we do in this crazy climate of misinformation and disproportionate measures and stuff like that to be more effective and healthy ourselves? What's the best thing that we can do?
The best thing that you can do is to make sure your vitamin D level, D as in David, is up somewhere between 80 and 100. That way at that level, it's therapeutically effective in terms of protecting you from lots of different types of viruses and bacteria. I think that, taking adequate vitamin C is really important. I think that, you know, I've said in a lot of these interviews that I've done, Chris, is that I really believe, you know, because it's my belief system that, you know, God put the whole world on like full stop, all the entire world, all at the same time for a reason, that it gave us an opportunity, one last opportunity to get it right. And, get your physical house in order, you know, clean out your closets, paint the room, fix the faucets, get your physical house in order, get your body in order, you know, instead of gaining weight, lose some weight, get some extra exercise, feed your mind. I mean, every single one of us have stacks of books in our house somewhere that we always wish that if we had the time, we would get around to reading them. Well, you have the time. And then thirdly, and most importantly to me, the most important thing that everybody needs to do is get their life right with God, whatever that means to you. Get right with God. Because if we go into darker times, if we're sliding down that slippery path into darker times, well, then your house, your body, and your spirit are all prepared. And if somehow, some way, things turn the corner, and we figure it out and we don't go down the Bill Gates, Tony Fauci pathway, and we don't do mandatory vaccination, and we get people to kind of like give up their fear, then if we turn the corner and we go into better times or lesser bad times, well, then we got our physical house, our body, and our relationship with God in order. So it's a recipe that everybody can you can't lose with that recipe, you know?
Yeah. Don't look at it as a lockdown. Look at it as a retreat.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I've said, you know, I've laid out some things, like do some things that you always wish you had time to do, like dig into genealogy, you know, or look at old pictures and sort through old pictures, like the old black and white, you know, Polaroid things that we used to tear, and put them into books with your kids or your grandkids and tell them stories about your life. Yes. Let them get to know you at a different level. That 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle that you've always wanted to sit around and do with your kids and just never had the time, you know?
Yes.
I mean, watch some old movies. Be sure that you laugh. I mean, really, really be sure that you laugh, you know, because laughter is the best medicine, and those shouts of joy are really, really important to keep your attitude in a good perspective, you know.
And the thing with the fear too, how it's so effective is it makes, you know, it fogs your lucid mind. If you're tensed up and fearful and you're afraid of people and the situation and this virus that's not tangible, like that, you can't be an effective human being that way. I mean, even if it's the most dire situation imaginable, still come to it not fearful and joyful and bringing as much positivity to it as you can.
Absolutely. It's the only way to do it. You know, I mean, if we are really fighting powers and principalities of evil and darkness here, which I do believe that we are, I mean, it's just like, it's really one of those things where, you know, we need to bring in our spirituality to this battle. You know, I mean, in the book of Ephesians, where it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the pharmakia. That's the root, you know, the sorcerers. And that we are, you know, they're trying to eliminate humanity, Chris. I mean, they're trying to take away our humanness. They're trying to distance us so that we don't see each other. We don't hear each other. We don't know how to read each other's expressions anymore because we can't see each other. They're taking away our humanness. They're taking away, you know, they want to depopulate the planet. I think it's pretty ironic that the same guy, i.e. Bill Gates, who says there's far too many people on the planet, is the same guy who wants to save the entire planet with a vaccine.
Imagine that.
How's that work?
Yeah. Sounds pretty dark to me.
Exactly.
Well, okay, I want to be mindful of your time. I know you've had a long, exhaustive day. Maybe tell the listeners where people can find you online and where your work is and how they can do some more research.
Well, if they really want to support what I'm doing, if they really want to support this work, there's a place where you can go at supportdrtenpenny.com, supportdrtenpenny, supportdrtenpenny.com. And it's a membership, it's a site where we have a lot of products for sale, a lot of merchandise for sale. And if you become a member of the site, it's $10 a month. And as a $10 a month member, you get 30 to 50% discounts on all of the merchandise and all of our courses and everything that's there. And so that could be a really, really big way to support us and my team and what we're doing. If you want to see more about me and you want to see what types of courses and things that we offer, you can go to courses4mastery.com. If you go to coursesformastery.com, you can learn about our boot camp, our individual courses, our research library, our social media platforms. You can learn more about me. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So we made that as a landing page site so people don't have to remember individual things. So if they go to courses4mastery.com, that would be great. Join our email list. Join up with us. Become one of our members at supportdrtenpenny.com. They're all American-made products. They're all, you know, supporting people that you like their work here in America. And it does really, really good things for those of us that are part of the cost. It's called the Cost Club. And so it's our collection at the Cost Club. We'd really appreciate your support.
Fantastic. I will have all of those links in the episode notes. So
awesome.
Okay. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and dispelling some of your wisdom to us, and I wish you the best. Your work is very much appreciated, and please go get some rest. Go take care of yourself.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope that all of you, or at least some of you, found that conversation as informative as I did. I was very glad that she was able to give me a little bit of her time. It would have been nice to have 60 to 90 minutes, but I will take 45 minutes. I was glad that she was even able to fit me into such a busy day, and it was great. She was really easy to talk to and more than willing to answer any questions that I threw her way. So thank you, Dr. Tenpenny, for agreeing to do this. Yeah, so there's a lot of info there to get your gears turning upstairs, and it covers a lot of ground. It covers scientific data, as I said in the beginning intro, and it covers some theories that, you know, are more substantiated than others, or less substantiated than others, depending on how you're looking at it. I like to dip my toes in lots of different puddles, and those are some of the puddles I choose to dip my toes in. So I wasn't resistant to any of that information that she put forth. But it's not often that you hear doctors nowadays coming out and just being upfront and honest like that. But she has made the sacrifice to just step up and say exactly what she feels about all of this stuff. And it's gotten her a lot of notoriety. She's gotten a lot of airtime for her views about all of this and the angle that she takes, and I think it's well-deserved. If you like what you hear and you would like to contribute, there are lots of ways that you can do that, the most tangible being financially. And you can do that a couple of ways. You can go to www.patreon.com/themeltpodcast and choose to subscribe for anything from $1 up per month, whatever you think the podcast is worth. Any amount helps. Absolutely any amount. Or you can make a one-time donation to my PayPal account, which is under the email address fosamsara@gmail.com. All of that info will be in the liner notes, or I should say the episode notes. I'm used to the LP world that I grew up in. And there are other ways that you can contribute, and that's just by sharing it around, sharing a link to an episode or to the whole podcast on your social media data harvesting arena of choice. Every little bit helps, and they're going to probably take your word for it a lot more than they're going to take my word for it, because they know you already. So if you have friends or family that you think might benefit from some of this information, or you want to maybe give them an alternate take on what's going on, this may be the way to do it. Send them an email or tag them in a post on Facebook or something, and you might be doing some good. Or you might be starting some discussions at the very least. Another way to do that is to go to wherever you subscribe to this podcast, whether that be iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, so on and so forth, and leave a good review or leave a lot of stars, a good rating. Yeah, that's, of course, you only do either of those things if you feel moved to do so, not because I'm asking you to. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your attention, and I hope that there's something here that you can benefit from, and at the very least, something to start a discussion with your friends and family. And I think that's good. Discussion is good, especially during this time when so many people are butting heads. Divide and conquer has never been so ubiquitous as it is now on so many different levels, racially, politically, medically, media outlet preferences, you name it. It's happening on many, many different levels. So I think more than ever, and I've always thought it was important, but now more than ever, it's important to unite, to put those differences aside and see where we overlap, listen to what the other has to say, no matter how much our inside voice might be telling us that it sounds nuts, or it sounds implausible, or it's not a peer-reviewed subject, or whatever. Just put that stuff aside and just listen. Just ask questions until you understand where that person is coming from. I think that's, you're more than, you would probably be surprised about how much you have in common with these people that you think that you're opposed to, if you just sat down and had a discussion, a reasonable, calm discussion with them, as human being to human being, not as Democrat to Republican or whatever. Put all that shit aside. We're all human beings. We've got to come together. That's the only way any of this is going to work. On that note, thank you very much. Great shows coming up. This show is an impromptu show, so it kind of came out between shows, which are usually 2 weeks apart. So next week, there will be another show coming out, and it's going to be fantastic. So thank you. Stay tuned and take care.